camera started on there, and I'll just go from there. You can hit me there too on the camera. Amen. Got a very hard message this morning. It's going to be a powerful message, but it will be a hard message. I believe it's one that needs to be spoken to the body of Christ, to the nation, and to the nations of the world. Have a lot to say, so I'm going to do my best to get it out with clarity and not to rush and hurry myself. So if you've got to be somewhere, just tip on out at that time if I'm still speaking. But I'm not going to keep you longer than I need to. But this is going to be one of the most important messages, I think, that I've preached all year. Maybe I said that a couple weeks ago. But it seems to be that we're living in ever-increasingly intense times. It seems as though you wake up and there's something new that just totally rivets you and shocks you and shakes you to your core if you have any type of heart left in you. Can I get a big amen? Because a lot of people are so callous to the surroundings of our day that we look at things as just a natural occurrence and we're not too worried about them. And, you know, it's just a case of just another day. But the reality is we're getting closer to the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the coming of the Lamb. And there is no way that anybody can deny that unless you are just in denial. So I'm going to get myself together up here because it's going to be a lot of information that I must give to you. But when you leave here, I believe you're going to be changed, and I definitely know you're going to be challenged. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm ready to be challenged, because it's going to happen to you anyways. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this morning and this opportunity to be in this house. Thank you for a great word this morning. We need to go back and write that word down for this church. I commissioned somebody in this house to go back on live cast and write that word down. Be a scribe. But I thank you, Father God, for what you're doing in this house. We surely don't deserve it by our own merit and our own strength. But we receive it in humility because you chose us for this hour, and not only us, but those that are willing to carry the banner of love and carry the cross of Calvary to the nations of the earth. Father, Ignited Church has no reason to exist for self. We have reason to exist for you. I ask today that you would hide me behind the shadow of the cross and help me to articulate this word the way it was given to me. And let there be no misunderstanding, but let there be clarity. Jesus, we love you, and we're so desperate in this hour. Our nation is falling apart in real time, right before our eyes, and there is no way any man can cover it up anymore. So, Father, we thank you for revelation, and we love you, Holy Spirit. Welcome into this place, in Jesus' name. And everybody say amen. Amen. And amen. Let me give you the word of the Lord that he spoke to me. He said, prepare for war, O nation of the plumed serpent. Now, first of all, you must understand that America and its name did not come from Europe and a European explorer. The name of America came from an Incan king. And his name meant plumed serpent or feathered serpent. You need to go research your history to understand that. So prepare for war, O nation of the plumed serpent. Your venom is ready and your fangs are exposed. But like lightning, your enemies will light upon you. The beast of the field, meaning the other nations, shall see you as prey, wounded with grief and despair. This is your future, America, bleak and dark, for the hour of your light has grown dim. The candle of my house has gone out. Your streets shall be filled with bloodshed, all for the reason of the innocent blood that flows beneath. I have winked, but now I stare. As I said and as I have warned, prepare for your day of battle. Before I give you the title of this message and really get into the message itself, I have to give you a little bit of understanding of where this message came from and why I'm going to preach it in such a way. I normally do not share prophetic words of other people from this pulpit. I very, very, very rarely do, as you know, because I guard this pulpit. I guard your heart. I guard your ears and your spirit, whether they're here live ministering or whether I repeat something or give you a website. And this church knows that as a truth because I love you. But I'm going to share a word that was forwarded to me in an email from Pastor Ken, our good friend in Florida. And I never read prophetic words on Saturdays before service. I even sometimes Fridays. I always keep my heart clear and clean of what other people are saying. In fact, during the week, I rarely read prophetic words. I don't do that. There are a lot of people who like to do that. They need to do that. I don't need to do that. Amen. But this particular time I said, you know what, I need to read this. It just caught my eye. So Saturday morning I read this email or this prophetic word that came from Nathan Liao. And some of you all are familiar with Nathan Liao and his ministry, The Watchman's Cry. In fact, I have made an invitation for Nathan to come here in November. I'm waiting on his response. So we can have him as a guest speaker with us during our Harvest Camp meeting. Isn't that good? I trust Nathan. I trust the ministry that God has given him. And so I want to read this word, and you can find it on his website, watchmanscry.com. You can go to our website. We have a link up there so you can read that. It's probably all over the internet right now. But I'm reading this to you so that I can tell you what the Lord spoke to me and how it confirms and where we're headed. Is that all right? He had a prophetic dream of a false flag event. False flag means it's an event that looks like somebody else did it, but we did it, or the person that had an agenda did it. So on the night of August 9, 2017, I had a prophetic dream about the coming war. It was short, but it spoke volumes. And I was looking outside the window of a house, and I saw a missile come out of the ground and fly into the sky. And it was a missile from the United States of America. It accelerated quickly, and I watched it rise into the sky. And then I was shocked because above the missile, a large passenger plane was flying in the sky. It was a large jumbo jet. Its elevation was around 20,000 feet. The missile struck the plane on the engine. At the moment of impact, I heard the words "false flag" spoken from the sky. The airliner plummeted to the ground in a ball of fire, and I did not see which airline it was, but the engine color was a soft baby blue. The fuselage of the plane was blue and white. The blue was a little darker than the engine, but the blue color was not real dark. As the plane plummeted, debris fell to the ground, and a large section of it struck an apartment building. The news reported that if anyone found debris, they should notify authorities. And I looked for the debris in the backyard of the property where I was. Now, listen to this. A mason jar had fallen from the plane and laying on the ground sideways. I went to check it out, and as I was looking at it, the lid came off, and three serpents crawled out of the mason jar. Now, prophetic dreams are symbolic. They're not always cut and dry. I stepped back because I knew that the serpents were dangerous. Two of them slithered along the grass and burrowed into the ground, but the third serpent was caught, not by me, but a man who appeared next to me. He was a military officer. I think he could have been a general in the U.S. military. The general laid three sticks around the serpent that was coiled on the ground. The three sticks formed a triangle around the snake. The snake could not leave the triangle. It was like the snake was locked into a pyramid that immobilized it. I found it odd that the serpent contained in such a weird manner. Now, you can go to his website and you can look up more of the symbolic part of this prophetic dream. I don't have time to do that, and that's not the purpose of bringing this word out. But here's what he began to say that brought me into a prophetic revelation from the Lord. He said, I wondered if the plane was Air Force One, because the airliner in my dream had similar colors. You're familiar with the plane and the colors. But I'm not sure if it was a commercial or government plane. If it was Air Force One, it was very disturbing because I did not wish harm on the president. And as a side note, say a prayer for the president's safety. We will and we do. If something were to happen to him, chaos would ensue, both domestic and worldwide, because people would want justice, including most Americans, but especially Trump's support base. If this dream does not represent Air Force, if this dream does represent Air Force One, you know what that would mean, folks. I don't even want to say it, but the aftermath would result in Mike Pence taking over, and when he did, he would be corralled by the Freemasons and be controlled by the military, meaning the Freemasonic warmongering military-industrial complex. All those things I've talked to you about from this pulpit many, many times for many years. Now, the other notable component of this prophetic dream is that it was a false flag event. So however this thing plays out, be warned that a false flag event is in the works. I've warned this church and everybody that will listen to me, there's a false flag coming. Not just one, but I believe more than one. He said, I don't have a date. I do not know when this will happen, but one possibility is that a missile attack could occur and be blamed on North Korea when the truth, the source of the missile was the United States. See, some of this is too much for a lot of snowflake Americans that we don't think we have people and components within this nation are that evil. Well, we do. So make note, ladies and gentlemen, if a future missile is fired and targets America or its allies, there's a possibility that the source of the missile was not from Kim Jong. Somebody says, how can you say that? Well, don't forget 9/11. Don't forget the Gulf of Tonkin. Don't forget the other events, Operation Northwoods and so on and so forth. These people that are in power, they want war. They want to change the way we live. They want to take away the currency and the luxury that we have in our nation. Now, there's more to be read, and I don't want to misquote or take anything out of context. So you have to go read the rest of that particular word to see everything that he says and his opinions on it. But my point was this. I read this word, and again, it's not my nature to do so because, I like to just be totally clear. I'll listen to a little bit of news or whatever, but on Saturdays, I really want to focus. I don't really want to talk about things prophetically. But after I read this, by the time I had walked from my living room into my bedroom, I heard these words so clear and so concise. And the Spirit of the Lord said, have you never heard of the Day of the Jackal? And I was stunned. I stopped. I was paralyzed for a moment. I said, the Day of the Jackal? I had never heard of this. I'd never heard of the terminology. So I immediately, after that moment of being shocked, I went to my laptop and I began to research so that I can get an understanding of what that was all about. And I'm going to share that with you this morning. And when I awoke this morning, the words resounded again, the Day of the Jackal. And I knew that was the message to bring to you. The title of this message is The Day of the Jackal. The Day of the Jackal. Have you never heard of the Day of the Jackal? Now, first of all, a jackal, we must understand, is in the canine family. It's not a very large dog or a large animal. It's in that type of family. But it is an animal of opportunity. In other words, it likes to eat snakes, sheep, insects, small gazelles, and fruit. It can run 40 miles an hour. It's very agile. But it is an animal that can do a lot of destruction. So the day of the jackal, again, I didn't understand, and I'm not familiar. In the Bible, the jackal, anytime it's mentioned, it represents desert ruins, destruction, or some type of calamity. You can look it up when you have time, and it also ties into the dragon. Now, what I'm speaking to you is so symbolic in confirmation with the prior word and the hour that we're living in, so I know it's going to take you time to digest what I've just told you, and I suggest that you get this CD and go back to Livecast or what have you, YouTube, and re-listen and re-watch and reread this specific word, because I believe that we're in the hour of the jackal. I believe that we're in the hour of this destruction and turmoil. But in my research, it went further than that, for I did not know that there was a novel written in the 60s called The Day of the Jackal. In fact, there was a movie made in 1973 called The Day of the Jackal. And it was a movie about the survivors from the French Foreign Legion who had come against President Charles de Gaulle. And a British assassin was hired to assassinate him. And the movie goes through all the turns and corners of a Jason Bourne type of drama in the 70s, to the point where he has the president in his very bullseye on his scope. He fires a shot and he misses. And at the end of the movie, he dies, and the president at that time was not assassinated from his bullet. But the correlation and confirmation for this and the specific word that Nathan gave is that I believe there's a false flag coming to our country that deals with our administration. There's twofold belief that I feel the Lord is showing me, is that there is an attempted assassination coming to our president or some form of administration that will be used to bring us into conflict, not only in this nation against another nation, but inside our nation. The devil has a plan to destroy this country to the core, to burn it to the ground, to burn the foundation of this nation. But I also believe it means that there is an assassination going on right now, the attempt to destroy our democracy. We already know that as a positive truth, but it's being accelerated right before your very eyes. And so putting these two together, we are living in very dangerous hours. This is not a day to play church. This is not a day to fake Christianity. In fact, no day is a day to play with God. But it's an hour to get serious with God and serious about the harvest and the seriousness about your family being born again. I believe, as I told you many, many times, and especially last week, we are a hair trigger away from war, not just with North Korea, but with China and with Russia and with Iran. It's right before us. And though popular preachers deny preaching this as truth, they cover it up with happy days and fun days and dreams of a great America, when the reality is there is no great dream for America. It's over. I want to take you to the book of Hosea. Is that okay? So I challenge you and ask you with all sincerity to go back and listen to my words carefully. I'm not telling you that the president will be assassinated. I'm asking that we pray for him. I'm just telling you that there is something afoot to bring us to war. I don't know what it's going to be. I respect the prophetic dream. I respect prophetic words from other people. But all I know is what the Lord told me, the day of the jackal, it is here. Is that okay? Did I make it pretty clear? Please pray. Pray for our country. Pray for our leadership. Pray for our military. Pray for authority around you. Hosea 9, let me know when you get there. You see, you say things like this and people get all riled up and they get mad at the messenger and they get confused because it doesn't confirm the word that their friendly preacher on TV and pastor tells them. And they think that you are all about division and all about wanting to see destruction when that is so far from reality. But if you're a messenger that has to bring truth and exposure, that's just the way it is. And exposure is not always fun. Come on. Exposure is not always easy. Exposure is not always what you want to happen. But I'm going to give you the reason for that exposure and the reason for what's taking place. Are you there in Hosea chapter 9? Verse 1. Rejoice not. Now that's going to be very negative today because most churches this morning, they want to rejoice not over God and salvation. They want to rejoice over stuff. They want to rejoice over the new car. They want to rejoice that they got a job. They want to rejoice over things that they possess. And I understand that form of rejoicing, but we've rejoiced so much in the church over the things that we have that we don't know how to lift holy hands and worship God standing in dirt. We don't know how to worship God with holes in our shoe. We don't know how to worship God with holes in our jeans. We don't know how to worship God with holes in our roofs. Come on, because we've been so inundated with materialism that we don't know how to worship God in the beauty of holiness. I'm going to get somebody riled up this morning. Rejoice not. You know, sometimes there's a place and there is a moment where sackcloth and ashes should be upon the house. There's a time when you look upon the nation of the world and you look upon the situation of our nation, and there comes a time when you just begin to weep and cry and begin to intercede and moan and groan and say, my God, my nation has gone away. And I believe that's where we are today. I don't believe it's a day to rejoice in materialism. I don't believe it's a day to rejoice in fantasies of an American dream. I don't believe it's a day to rejoice in all of the entrapments that we have. I believe it's a day to be mourning and to be sorrowful for the sin of our nation, to be sorrowful for the things that we've done as a country. Oh, I know I'm in opposition with so many fancy preachers that are out there today. But I'm going to tell you something. I'd rather be at peace with God preaching the truth than to be friends with politicians and billionaires and millionaires and preachers with large ministries. Rejoice not, O Israel, for joy as other people. In other words, don't rejoice in idolatry. Don't rejoice in that it's coming up to be football season. Oh, now I'm going to step on somebody's toes. Don't rejoice that it's going to be this season or that season. Don't rejoice like the other people do. You see, the other people, the pagans, they rejoice no matter the season or the time because they were blinded to the judgment of God. They weren't sensitive to the things of God. And that's exactly where the Church of America is. We're not sensitive to the prophetic. We're not sensitive to the things of God. We're not sympathetic to the sins of our nation. And therefore, we're callous in our heart towards the things of God. And yet, we praise the things of our life. That must have been a really good one because nobody said amen. For joy is other people, for thou hast gone a whoring from thy God. God gives a strong indictment to Israel. He said, don't rejoice like they do in their sin. Don't rejoice of your nation and the paganism and all the idolatry that they're facing and they're embracing in that hour. He said, no. He said, they have become and you have become a whore and you've whored from your God. You went away and thou hast loved the reward upon every corn floor. This is a very strong indictment for Israel, and it's a very strong indictment for our nation. But the reality is this. He said, you went a whoring away from me, and you have what? You have loved a reward. In other words, you took the price of prostitution. You took the reward of a prostitute. You acted like a prostitute as a nation. You acted like a prostitute within the church. And you took the reward of the world, the payment and the hire and the wages of the world, as you went a whoring away from God. And that is exactly where the Church of America is today. We have gone a whoring away from God. And we've made idols out of money. We've made idols out of our jobs. We've made idols out of our career. We've made idols out of retirement. We've made idols out of our 401ks. We've made idols out of gold and silver. We've made idols out of politicians. We've made idols out of preachers. We've made idols out of churches. Come on, somebody. We've made idols out of ministries, and we've whored ourselves away from God for the price of the world. That's exactly why we're in trouble today. That is exactly why Charlottesville, Virginia took place in our nation. And we've warned from this pulpit, and watchmen have warned from their positions, that we're at the brink of civil war. And we're at the position where this country is divided as a nation. I preached a message prophetically last year called The Divided States of America, and that word is still true today. We are divided. We're divided socially. We're divided in the house of God. We're divided politically. We're divided racially. We're divided theologically. We're divided through song. We're divided in every form of fashion that division can raise its ugly head up. Is anybody here today? And the reality is that we must come to a place that we recognize and realize where this country is headed, and quit holding on the false prophecies and false dreams and the Hananiah promises that everything is going to be well. It won't be well. And I said it with a smile, the best I can, to think that you keep you from thinking I'm mad. I'm not mad at anybody but the devil. I'm only mad at the false prophets and the people that are still asleep. You're watching your nation catch on fire. But football season's here, boy. You better be, you know, we're going to be geared up and riled up and ready to go. So full of the entrapment of the world. I'm only in verse 1, and I got a long way to go, so I'm going to read it again. Verse 1. Rejoice not, O Israel, for joy as other people, for thou hast gone a whoring from thy God. It's not an hour to be rejoicing for the sins of our nation. It's not an hour to be pushing an agenda that is anti-God, that's anti-Christ. It's not an hour to be rejoicing about churches that are no more than pagan whore hotels and places where you can go and pick up a woman or pick up a man. Come on, somebody. We've come to a place where we've caused the things of God that are holy and they are separate and consecrated, we've made them profane. But we don't want to discuss that in the American church, because we don't like to hear this news. Well, I don't like to hear it either. I like to hear good news. How about you? I like to hear some good news. But the reality is, when heaven is warning America, when heaven is warning the nations that you're on the brink of annihilation, you're on the brink of destroying one another, heaven is saying it's not a time to rejoice like the pagans do. Thou hast loved a reward upon every corn floor. In other words, just like the whore that would go off and get its reward, you've done the same through idolatry, and you've given your resources to your idols. In other words, you gave your idols more praise for your prosperity than you did God. I'm just going to be real today. I do not give credit to the prosperity that God has put in my life to any man, any administration, any organization, any nation. I give God the full, total glory for everything he's ever done for me and the way that he made when there seemed to be no way. I'm thankful for the freedoms and the opportunities to do what I'm called to do. But I'm going to tell you something. You can be in the desert over in Africa or in the bush over in Africa, and God would bless you exceedingly abundantly above all you would ever ask or think, according to the power that works within you. In fact, I've been there and I've seen the faces of prosperity, and I've seen more joy upon those that don't have much than I have in church folk that got everything and have a sour puss look. Don't look at your neighbor. It amazes me. We come in the church, we got that sour puss look. Boy, got that lemon juice look. We got everything. We got it made, man. We got air conditioner. We got shiny shoes. We came in a car that had air conditioner. We got padded chairs. Everything seems to be right. You got a bathroom that's in the building. Woo-wee. Hallelujah. That's pretty good with running water. But yet we still are so sour, because we don't understand the blessedness of our God and what he's done. Watch this, verse 2. I got to go on before I make you madder. The floor and the wine press shall not feed them, and the new wine shall fail in her. In other words, the supply, I believe, the supply of the prosperity that we have in America is going to be broken soon. I believe that. I believe the substance and the ability to sustain ourselves and the life that we live, the good life, is about to be broken because of our idolatry, because we put our faith in money. We put our faith in the banking system. We put our faith in all types of financial instruments in life. I believe that to be true. It also represents the harvest that will fail because of putting trust in the gods and the idolatry and the pagan gods that say they bring prosperity. That's what it means. Watch verse 3. And thou shalt not dwell in the Lord's land, but Ephraim shall return to Egypt, and they shall eat unclean things in Assyria. Again, I don't desire for any of these things to take place in our nation. I desire for us to turn to God. I desire for the good times to keep rolling. I desire to see people prosperous. I love seeing buildings being built. I love to see progress. But the reality is that we've made money a god in America. We've made money a god in America by the way that we do elections, the way that we do desires for ordinances and statutes and laws that will favor prosperity. Again, I understand prosperity and I'm grateful for it. But the revelation is this, is that we have desired it so much more than the presence of God that we're willing to do less for God and more for money. Yes, we will. We would rather go to war for money's sake. And if you don't think war is about money, you never studied history. And you don't know exactly what's going on in North Korea and various parts of this world. But it's about money. It's about the central banks. Let me get over here, man. I feel like a RPG is going to fly through. One of y'all coming after me. You talk about money. You talk about hard times coming, and people in America, they don't want to hear this thing because they say it's impossible. But he said, I'm going to deal. He said, the floor and the wine press shall not feed them. In other words, the place, Brother Mike, where they received their prosperity, the very source to where they received their blessings, it will not provide for them. And that is coming to America whenever the gods of this world and the gods of mammon, the god of money, the source of power, when it dries up, who will be your source? Oh, man, I love this. I know this wouldn't go over well in a millionaire club. But it goes good in this church, because all of us have been P.O., po. So poor you couldn't afford the other O.R. Come on, somebody. I love folk that have been tried. I love folk that have been ridden. I love folk that have been robbed and have been bruised and been battered. I love folk that have a testimony who've gone through hell and came out the other side and tell you something. God is a good God. He makes a way when there seems to be no way. He'll supply all your needs according to the riches and glory in Christ Jesus. I would rather have you in the foxhole than have some billionaire there who's wetting his britches. Some city folk have to look that up online. Wetting britches. Tinkle. And there's another word, you can find out what that is. Because I'm going to tell you something, they're not going to fare very well in the time of economic tragedy. They're not going to fare very well whenever a nuclear explosion takes place or an EMP or some type of craziness happens in this country. They're not going to fare well because they're not ready. They've trusted in the gods of this world. They've trusted in the wine press. They've trusted in the corn fullers. They've trusted in all kinds of things instead of God himself. That's why country folk are going to make it. Who love God. Oh, I know there's some city folks too. Don't get me wrong. We got city folks all over that watch us. I love everybody. But you could live in the city and have a country heart. You could live in the city and have a mind of Christ and find a way out of that crazy rat hole. I got to go, man. Verse 3. I'm going to go back to verse 3. And they shall not dwell on the Lord's land, but Ephraim shall return to Egypt, and they shall eat unclean things in Assyria. He's saying this. He said, you're going to lose your gods of supply. I'm going to make something very clear today, and I know this statement's going to get blasted, but I don't really care. We need a famine in this country. We need the bread of life, or excuse me, the staff of bread, our finances. We need that type of life support. We need it broken or disturbed in some way to where America would fall to its knees and finally cry out to a holy God and say, God, I've needed you all along. I've never needed this dollar. I've never needed this money. I've never needed this gold and silver. I've only needed you, and you alone do I need. It's a sad statement, but that's where we are in America today. We need it because we're unrepentive. We're unrepentive as a country. Our preachers are whoring around on Saturday and preaching like angels on Sunday. We're telling our president to go to war, that God is on your side. God is not on your side, Mr. President, when the nation is full of sin and the nation is divided and we have innocent blood going underneath our streets. I don't believe that. I don't believe, and as patriotic as I am and as much as I would love to serve, the reality is this, that we are putting our finger in places it does not belong, and we're going to get in trouble because we're in trouble. What happened in Virginia is a microcosm of the very issues of the heart of America. We don't have no business telling other people what to do at this particular juncture when we have our own issues in our nation. Don't get me wrong, I have no problem thumping a thug. But there's a way to thump a thug. There's a right way and a right time. There's a quiet way. In fact, I like just walking up behind him and you fill in the blank. I'm not going to telescope and televise everything that I'm going to do. And when we do that, that shows our immaturity and arrogance. And that's where we are in a nation. We are arrogant. And I'm fearful for our country. Please don't mark me as not patriotic. I am patriotic. But the realization and the revelation is this. We've got trouble at the house. We've got trouble with God. We've got trouble with one another in our nation. And we don't have no business marching off to war anywhere. It's just my opinion. You don't have to believe me, and you don't have to go the way that I go. But my heart is broken for my nation. Because here's the issue. It's not just rhetoric of words of men's mouths. It will be young men's lives. It will be the blood of innocent people in city streets. Come on, church. Listen, I'm all for protection. And if some entity comes against us and comes on our border or tries to do anything crazy, I am with it. I understand it. Lock and load, whatever you want to use, do the deal. But the reality is we're not in a position to be the big bully on the block when we are hurt. The day of the jackal is upon us. We are injured. We're an injured nation. We're a fractured nation. And these are the very conditions that the prophets of the past prophesied today would be like when we would be overrun and be invaded, when we are at our weakest. And I believe we have a fever. I believe we're infected. Our government is dysfunctional. No matter how much you spread peanut butter on it, it's dysfunctional. It's messed up, and it's by divine order. It's by order as well as entities that want to bring chaos into our nation. God is allowing it to take place because of our sin. I love America. I love my freedoms. I'm so glad to be born here, so glad to serve. Thanks to those who have served in this congregation and those that are listening and watching right now who have served and those are serving at this moment. But the reality is this. We're living in a day where we have issue with God, and God has an issue with us, and we must make it right. Verse 4, they shall not offer wine offerings to the Lord, neither shall they be pleasing unto him. Their sacrifices shall be unto them as the bread of mourners. For their bread, for their soul, shall not come into the house of the Lord. You see, I don't believe it's a time to be rejoicing. I believe it's a time for to be very circumspective, walk very circumspectively before our God. I believe it's a day for you to get yourself right with God. Everybody watching, listening right now to me, I believe it's a day for you to go in and clean your house up of the crap that is in there. Can we just call it like that, or should I be more King James and say dung? It's time to get rid of the sin. It's time to get rid of the pet thought life and the pet things that we do that easily beset us and keep us from our relationship with God. I believe we should walk through our homes very gingerly and very gently, just walking before God and saying, God, what is it in me that you don't like? Verse 5, what will you do in the solemn day, in the day of the feast of the Lord? In other words, you're carried into captivity. The whole church system's going to change. I've preached this for several years. There's a changing of the guard coming. This whole thing is going to change. This whole ecumenical system is going to collapse on itself because it has been in opposition to God. It's been opposition against the prophetic. It's been in opposition against reality. Is anybody in this room with me? When we're telling our president to go to war, that God Almighty is with you, is insanity. That might have worked maybe 20, 30 years ago, and that might have got some people to the recruitment center. But the reality is this, that is not going to fly in the reality of where our nation is and the prophetic reality of the Word of God. But I'll tell you what will, a false flag. I'll tell you what will, another 9/11. Be looking for it. Be wise. Be full of discernment. Because your family's going to get caught up in the room, you know, the shish kabob, the whole cheerleader thing of the New World Order, and all these that are out there that are false patriots, they're going to get you into a position where you are brainwashed and you will believe what just took place and you'll say, let's march on, oh Christian soldier. And the answer is no. It's a trap. Well, Pastor, how do you say and how do you read the word of the Lord in the last days? There'll be wars and rumors of wars, and all of it is a hook in the jaw to bring us to the place of Armageddon. It's to a place of the end times and to the last days, and the revelation of the script is being played out right in front of you right now, but you deny it because you're caught up with the gods of this world eating their sacrifice. That's the only reason why people don't believe the words that are being spoken right now. because it deals with you and it deals with your lifestyle changing. If my lifestyle has to change for the saving of my nation and my neighbor, change it. You didn't hear that. Because if we really meant that, then we would be people of prayer and we'd be saying, God, I'm going to give up some luxury. I'm not going to rejoice like the world. I'm going to spend some time in mourning. I'm going to spend some time in sackcloth and ashes. And I'm going to spend time interceding for my nation. God, change my lifestyle now. This is good preaching. I'm having a great time up here. No matter how you're looking. Verse 6. For lo, they're gone because of destruction. Egypt shall gather them up. Memphis shall bury them. The pleasant places for their silver. Needles, shall possess them. Thorns shall be in their tabernacles. In other words, desolation. In other words, the glory of man. What is the glory of man? The glory of man is the things that he makes glitters, the ornaments and things that he has, the tassels and all the entrapments and sparkles of his life, a home, a car, new furniture and things. That is the things that we use to show off our glory. Is that right? But there's coming a day when all of that will turn gray. It will turn from its glitter and the realization that comes with judgment. In verse 7, the days of visitation are come. The days of recompense are come. Israel shall know it. The prophet is a fool. Watch this. Let me read that again. The days of visitation are come. We're here. The day of the jackal. The day of visitation. The days of recompense are come. Israel shall know it. You see, America doesn't know it, but it shall know it. America doesn't recognize and realize we're in trouble. This is just a little issue in Charlottesville. This is just a little issue going on. No, honey, this is the heart of the nation. This is the reality of where we are. We are a nation that is full of racism. The most segregated place in America is the church on Sunday morning. You know that's the truth. Israel shall know it. The prophet is a fool. Who said that? Israel is saying that. The prophet is a fool. The people who preach this, the watchmen that stand up, the preachers that warn, you're a fool. We're going to turn this whole thing around. You're going to see America awesome, man. You're going to see all kinds of great things. Boy, we're just going to make this thing happen. We're going to legislate life, and it's just going to be great. Make America great again. Hate America again. That's exactly where it is today. Hatred in our streets. If you think I'm picking on a person, I'm not. I'm picking on a spirit. You're blinded. You've been deceived. And the prophet to you is a fool. Watch this. I'm closing. Sometime I'll get there. I've already been to the new Cracker Barrel. It ain't bad. So y'all ain't going to get in there. 2 o'clock. You better wait for 2 o'clock to get your chicken fried chicken. Shall I go on? With fried okra. Oh, man, they got the best greens. Hash brown casserole. They got some chicken and dumplings. Sweet tea. And if your sugar's high, they got unsweet tea. How can he do it? Watch. Verse 7. The prophet is a fool. The spiritual man is mad. Well, I tell you, that guy from McNighty Church, he's just mad, man. He's always mad. He's just a crazy dude. He said this and he said that and this and that's going on. But the reality is you're watching it take place before your very eyes in living color and reality. Who's the fool now? God will be justified. I ain't looking to be justified for nothing. God is our justification. Come on. The prophet is a fool. The spiritual man is mad for the multitude of thine iniquity and the great hatred. Because you have iniquity in your heart, America, because you have hatred in your heart, you think the prophet is a fool. You think the mature spiritual person is a fool because you're blinded by your lust. You don't want to accept the hour of your visitation, but it's here. I don't know if you've looked recently, but the church is being judged. Pastors are falling out. Ministries are being stripped. People are being exposed. Because it's a day of visitation. Can you stand me just for a few more minutes? The watchman of Ephraim was with my God. But the prophet is a snare of a fowler in all his ways and hatred in the house of his God. Verse 9. They have deeply corrupted themselves as the days of Gibeah. Therefore he will remember their iniquity and he will visit their sins. Let me show you what this is talking about. He said, again, watch this, verse 9. They were deeply corrupted. Talking about the false prophets now. Talking about those that didn't want to listen to the true prophet. Didn't want to listen to the true watchman. They were deeply corrupted themselves as in the days of Gibeah. What does that mean in the days of Gibeah? It means back in Judges chapter 19 where the Levite had his wife raped and murdered. By the very people of that city, that God compared the priest, the prophet of the hour, and the prophet of the day as those who are rapists and murderers. I didn't say it, God did. Because we rape the people for their money and we give them no love, we give them no protection, we give them no care, we give them no spiritual covering. There are churches that won't even pray for their people. You're going to be a shepherd, you need to smell like sheep. Not only raping them, but also committing murder by not warning them of the entrapments and the sin that's taking place in our country. Not warning them that you need to be in a place of prayer. You need to turn your home into an altar. You need to turn your place into the house of prayer again. Will you call upon the name of the Lord and apply the blood of Jesus over the doorpost and say, in the name of the Lord, I plead the blood of Jesus. I plead the blood of Jesus from the roof of my house to the foundation. Nations to the four corners, I plead the blood of Jesus. I do it every single day. My wife does it every single day. I've got angels surrounding around my property. I got angels surrounding around this property. I've got angels surrounding your homes when I pray for you. I plead the blood of Jesus. I still believe in the crimson flood of the eternal blood of the Lamb. I still believe in Jesus. I'm talking about Jesus of Nazareth, the real Jesus. The one that still wipes blinded eyes clear and clean, raises the dead and does miracles. No, you got to hang on here just a minute. He will remember their iniquity and he will visit their sins. In other words, we ain't getting away with stuff by just giving a little mamby-pamby type of prayer that the church does to soothe our conscience. And mention the name of God when we take up an offering. Deep repentance needs to come to the house of God. Deep repentance. Deep. Deep repentance. We say, what is deep repentance? Deep repentance is when total exposure comes. When you just open your heart up and you say, God, it is me. I am the sinner in need of salvation. But I've been in church 30 years and I've been in the way. Yeah, you've been in the way. That's the problem. Verse 10. I found Israel like grapes in the wilderness. You need to put America there. I saw your fathers as the first ripe in the fig tree at her first time, but they went to Baal Peor and separated themselves unto that shame. And their abominations was according as they loved. In other words, America, you were once pure. Come on, remember the day when you walked home from your friend's house at nighttime and you wasn't afraid of anything but the dog? Or the squirrel that went in the bush and you didn't know what it was? Or the cartoon of the fake eyeballs blinking everywhere? Now you got to worry about a van pulling up and dragging your child in it. Or some maniac running them over. Come on now. In certain school districts, they have bulletproof bags to carry your books in. I mean, it's insanity where we are. But there was a time when America was that beautiful ripe fruit that looked so beautiful to the Father. But look at us now. Look at our sin-soaked nation. Look at our television programs. Look at the idolatry and the sexuality that is so rampant in our country, to the place now they're selling sex robots. Let me put that in your brain. I didn't see that on the Jetsons. We have polluted and we've perverted everything pure. I even cringe. I'm just going to go on this and I'm going to get out of your way. It's a little bunny trail. Can you go with me just a minute? But I can't stand when they say they're going to remake an old movie. Leave it alone. We're going to redo True Grit. Leave True Grit and John Wayne alone. Because everything we touch has got to have some puke in it. Everything we touch has got to have some junk in it. It's got to be misconstrued. All right, I feel better now. I had to get that out. I've been holding that for years. Just leave it alone. But this is what he said. He said, you've made an abomination where according as they loved. In other words, your love and the abomination, the desire for it, it matched one another. In other words, they became so pagan that they pursued the abomination with love. And that love was supposed to be towards God. But they changed it. And that's what we've done in America, even in the house of God. I love God with all my heart. I love the Lord Jesus with all my heart. I love the Holy Spirit with all my heart. I'm looking for a day when we just praise and worship God the whole service. And I don't even preach. Now, some of y'all would end up just falling out on that one. But I'm telling you, man, I want the presence of God to saturate this house so strong. I want him to come in here with like thunder and lightning and rain and just glory and awe. And we fall on our face before him and the preacher can't even get up and preach. Come on, I just wave up my flag and say, I'm still here. I'm still breathing. Make it a white one. I do, man. I do, but we're so hurry. We're such in a hurry to get out of the house of God. Verse 11, I know I'm getting out of time here soon, ain't I? She said, don't worry about it. Well, that's it. Y'all in trouble. Verse 11, as for Ephraim, their glory shall fly away like a bird from the birth and from the womb and from the conception, the progression of losing favor, the progression of losing prosperity. Though they bring up their children, yet I will bereave them, that there shall not be a man left. Yea, woe unto them that when I depart from them. Ephraim, as I saw Tyrus, is planted in a pleasant place. I'm closing with this. But Ephraim shall bring forth his children to the murderer. Give them, O Lord, what wilt thou give? Give them a miscarrying womb and dry breast. I believe that's what's coming to America. We don't love children like we say we do. We love children. Now, let me tell you this. This is not for everybody. It's for some people. We love them according to law. We don't love them according to the word. Because law says you can only do so much with children. You got to provide this, you got to do this, you got to do whatever. But love tells you to raise them up in righteousness and holiness. Love tells you to take things out of their eye socket, out of their view that is wrong. Love tells you to provide holiness and consecration. Love tells you to put right words in their ears and to show the right action through your life. That's what love does. People do enough just so they don't get called to protective services. I wish I had another hour. I'm telling you, I just preached this whole thing. It's coming. A miscarrying womb. And all their wickedness is in Gilgal. For there I hated them. For the wickedness of their doings will I drive them out of mine house. And I will love them no more. And all their princesses are revolters. Ephraim is smitten. The root is dried up. And they bear no fruit. Yea, they bear forth. Yea, they bear forth. Yet I will slay even the beloved fruit of their womb. Verse 17. My God will cast them away because they did not hearken. Listen to this. They did not hearken unto him, and they shall be wanderers among the nations. The word wanderers there means to retreat or to flee. I believe there's coming that day where America will no longer be in its position of prestige and power. I believe we'll be in a position where we're in mourning and sorrow for our sins. I believe that day is very close. I believe we're at the day of the jackal. I do believe something is going to take place in our country that's going to lead us to war. I don't know exactly the totality, but based on what I just told you and what I was shown by the Lord, that we're going to have an event that's going to bring us to our knees and to cause us to rise up with a war fever that's going to be very, very detrimental to us. You say, Pastor, what do we do in closing? All I can tell you is to prepare, pray, and preach. Not in any specific order, but to prepare, pray, and preach. Get your house in order. Get your preparations shored up. Do what you need to do. Do all that you can. Everything by faith, nothing by fear. Heavenly Father, I've given the message today, the day of the jackal. Father, I know it was a novel. I know it was a movie. But I believe the script is right before us, that we're watching our democracy be destroyed. And that there is an attempt, Father, to take out this administration, whether it's an individual or just symbolically a stopping this administration. I don't know, but I do know this, that you're in control of it all. And I believe that you're going to lead the church into the greatest revival in the midst of the greatest crisis. I pray for this nation. I pray for our president. I pray for all those in power and leadership. Father, I pray for Kim Jong-un. And I pray for all the leaders of the world. I pray for Venezuela. I pray, Father, we make the right decisions and we do the right thing under Holy Ghost counsel. We love you and ignited, Father, and we bless you in Jesus' name.